This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Know if I need you. Sing it, Tobe.
I don't even know the song, to be honest.
Landfill Tuss. Guys, something very important just came across my Twitter handle. We're going to have to discuss this at some point. We can wait. I know we have callers on the line. But apparently there's a restaurant coming soon to Athens, Ohio, that only serves meatloaf and strawberry milk.
What?
It's piqued my curiosity.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. It's called Margie's Meatloaf Mecca.
I like meatloaf.
I'm just saying.
I like my mom's meatloaf. I don't know.
I don't know that I've ever had strawberry milk. But
I love strawberry milk.
I don't know if I need it, but damn, I'd die to find out. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. Straight up AMA, baby. Mike's in D.C. What's up, Mike? Mike, turn that radio down, amigo.
It's Bob.
All right, what's up?
What's up, guys? How are you? Happy Friday.
You too, man.
I'm trying to recollect when the last time the Washington Bullets / Wizards made the Eastern Conference Finals. It's almost 50 years ago.
Damn.
So I'm wondering why the Wizards, last night was hopefully an indication of how they're going to play the rest of the season. Because if we lose out on having potentially the number one draft pick to get Cooper Flagg, because we're trying to win games and let the Utah Jazz potentially get the number one pick and take him because he's the best player to probably come out of college basketball in the last 5 years, it would be extremely disappointing. This is a rebuild, I understand. We're 16 wins. We're not a good team. I mean, I love how we promoted the general manager up today, this morning on the show, and, you know, it's all, you know, roses. But let's be honest, we're not a good basketball team, and he would be a game changer. So
quite bad.
Love to get your thoughts. I just don't want to have the Utah Jazz be one spot ahead of us.
Dude, I get it. I totally agree with you. There's a fundamental problem with tanking, especially when it's clear that so many teams are. Dude, you look at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, all of a sudden the Sixers have lost six in a row.
Yes.
The Nets have lost five in a row. The Wiz play the Nets tomorrow night. Like, somebody got to win. The Hornets have lost three. Go to the West, all of a sudden, Trailblazers have lost three in a row. The Spurs are terrible. The Jazz have lost four in a row. So everybody's trying to lose. And the fundamental problem with tanking, I'm not trying to act like – moral superiority is such like an old-fashioned mentality. The dudes that are on the court are going to try to win. So, like, you have to put the worst possible players on the court, but the NBA contract structures mean some of these dudes are going to play.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you're not going to miss shots on purpose. That's like point shaving.
No,
I mean?
They traded for Chris Middleton when they gave up Kyle Kuzma, and they got Marcus Smart with a couple of picks, and they've played some better basketball since. So I agree with them. I don't want them winning. But listen to this lineup, JP. When the Sixers played the Wizards a couple nights ago, the Wizards won 119-114. Listen to the Sixers starting lineup. Gershon Yabusele, Justin Edwards, Quentin Grimes,
Damn,
Jeff Doughton Jr. and Ricky Council the Fourth. Have you heard of any of those guys?
Because I watch Wiz games, but no. Like, no, they're, those like, are not.
Like, how bad is that lineup for the Sixers? When I went and watched them play the Jazz a couple nights ago, a couple weeks ago, Kyle Filipowski and what's the kid's name? Johnny Juzang were their best players. They were awesome at UCLA and Duke.
Right.
They're not awesome in the NBA. So teams are tanking, to your point, and the Wizards, I don't think they're going to fool themselves into to winning some of these games. But part of your to your point, I mean, this is why the NBA instituted this rule that the bottom three teams all get the same percentage chance of winning the first overall pick, so you don't have someone that's just egregiously tanking. So I think they're going to finish in the bottom three.
So
there's
be
no
clear,
question.
When did they change that rule? Relatively recently, right?
Yeah, a couple seasons ago. I can't remember the exact date.
So if it's the bottom three all have the best chance of the one, right now the Wiz and the Jazz are tied for the worst record. They each have 16 wins, and then the Hornets are right there with 18 wins. I have had a terrible thought. This just came to my brain. Landfill, you're the chief BSologist of the program. You have a PhD in BSology. You sniff it out, buddy. If anybody sniffs it, it's Landfill. Star white dude. Utah. Doesn't it seem like... I think the Jazz have a super rich new owner, relatively new owner. And I think... I had a dude tweeting me from a Jazz game the other night that's also a Skins fan. Like... I think things aren't going so great with the Utah Jazz franchise right now. And did I mention he's a white dude and it's Utah? I'm just saying.
A lot of smoke there.
Kind of tracks, right?
A lot of smoke there.
So right now, you have a 14% chance, the bottom three, of winning the first overall pick. The Wizards have... a 52.1% chance that, again, the top three, the three worst records of picking the top four. To me, even if they missed out on Cooper Flagg, I'd be fine with Dylan Harper out of Rutgers. Ron Harper's son, I think he's a really good guard. I'm a little in between on Ace Bailey. Like, there's still some good talent, but please, don't miss out on that first pick, especially because if it's the lottery that screws you...
They're not falling out of the top.
They're not. But if it's the lottery that screws you, that's just the NBA. That's whatever. But if it's yourself winning ball games down the stretch here, please.
So the Wiz and the Jazz each have 16. The Hornets have 18 wins. In the East, the next closest is the Nets with 23. Are the Nets with 23? In the West, the next closest are the Pelicans with 20. That's a significant... jump.
Well, and they have what? They have 73 games. They have 9 games left. So you're telling me you're going to pass? You're going to be 4 games better than Philadelphia or New Orleans? It's not happening.
Right.
They're going to be in the bottom three at least.
So the bottom three each get 14%. My math tells me that's what? 42% of all the balls. What does like the fourth worst record get? How many balls do they get?
12.5% at number one overall.
That is not a big enough... delta.
Right now.
That needs to be bigger.
Right now to our guy, what was his name earlier?
Doster.
Yeah, his point, San Antonio has a 6% chance at the number one overall pick.
I don't like it.
And because of that, it's probably more like a 66% chance.
I fear Utah in this scenario. I very much fear Utah, Landfill. Terry is in Danville. What's up, Terry?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling. You sound like you've had a fun morning.
Yes, sir. I would love to solidify that D-line at the Commanders with Calais Campbell. We really need him. And if we can afford Von Miller, I think he'll be a good added addition. We also need in the draft a speedy receiver that's a playmaker to take the top off the defense. Other than that, I think we're good. We're ready to make our run. This is our year here.
Hell yeah.
Last year was just a prelude to things for things to come.
Hell yeah.
This is our season coming up now.
I'm in.
I like
Von
it.
Von Miller, Calais Campbell, get it.
He wants to create the best defensive line from 5 years ago. I like that.
Yo, when Von Miller went to that Rams team, they won a Super Bowl.
They were good.
That was a big in-season acquisition. Calais Campbell, dude.
He can still play.
He's 39 week one. I mean, he's durable as hell. Last year, played all 17 games, gave you 5 sacks, 52 tackles.
I agree on the speedy receiver bit, though, by the way. Like, I think that's, if I had to add a specific style of receiver, give me a guy that runs a 4-3 and just goes down the field to open up some of that underneath.
You're
going
to have to draft him.
You're going to have to. I agree. And maybe you can find someone in, I know they don't have a third round pick, but like somewhere in that third or fourth round range, maybe. But you know how it is, JP. As soon as you run a 4-3, your draft stock from being a fourth rounder is now a second rounder. Your draft stock being a third rounder is now up into the back of the first round. So maybe that's not a possibility either.
Paul is in D.C. What's up, Paul?
What's up? I got to beep you, and I got a question.
Okay.
Beep you, Kevin Willett, because we don't want you if you don't want to be here. When you initially took the job, you said that Maryland was a top 10 basketball job in college basketball. Now you're changing your mind. Who wants a coach that's going to trash the program on his way out? Here's what my question is. I would want him to leave, and let's give that opportunity to a nice, young, upcoming coach who has proven himself, like a Dwayne Simpkins or Kenny Blakely from Howard University, who's done remarkable things there since he's been there. Let's start giving these young kids some opportunities to prove themselves instead of retreading all of these old heads. How about that? What's your opinion on that?
It's a great call, Paul. I've advocated for Simpkins. I feel like I'm probably the person saying that loudest. I think it.
But what about Blakely? He's been like doing Blake, good at Howard.
I like Blakely too. Did you know, Paul, that Kenny Blakely was one summer my counselor at Duke basketball camp? Did you know that, Paul?
No, I didn't know that. I know he's a hell of a coach.
Yeah,
I know
Howard's been good. He found that kid Harper, got him, you know, got him into shape, and they've been killing it. I would lean Simpkins over Blakely just because Simpkins played there. And I wonder if understanding kind of the Maryland mindset, which is not the easiest to deal with, has some real value. But, dude, I am not against – to me, you don't have to go find somebody that's had success elsewhere. And I'm not worried about the experience. You know what I mean? Like, I was arguing about this in the hallway with Drab. If they decided to roll the dice, I'm good with it.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What we got here? Noel, calling from Chicago. Noel on the Odyssey app. What up, dude?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if I'm like semi-piggybacking off one of the callers talking about the NFL draft, but if you guys had to just pick one player, and obviously Adam Peters is going to look at the board, just see who falls to him, but if there's one prospect that you really like at 29, assuming we're not trading back, do you guys have a favorite of who you like where you're just like, I want this guy, or you're still not there yet?
That's a great question. Toby, you got somebody? I'm guessing you do, and I'm guessing it's a skill position player.
Well, I got a guy. I just don't know that he gets there. It's kind of a range of outcomes. I'm guessing he probably goes in the teens, but if that Marshall D-end, edge rusher Mike Green, were to fall down, I would love him. I don't think he's going to be there.
He's not going to be there.
James Pierce is intriguing, but I don't know. A lot of off-the-field stuff is what's been talked about, why he's fallen down boards. I don't know if I love that.
Yeah.
Shamar Stewart, maybe, but I don't love a guy that doesn't have great college production.
I really like Mikel Williams, by the way, from Georgia. That's who I'm praying for. I don't know if he's going to make it there either, but I just wanted to throw that in there because I think he's good. But what about you, JP?
He's definitely good. The dude I've seen them connected with a lot, Ezeraku from BC. I like him off the edge. I think you could probably bulk that frame up a hair. I like Pierce. I think Pierce is possible, the pass rusher from Tennessee. I know that it's not necessarily a first-round position all the time, but the safety out of South Carolina, I mean, his measurables, his athletic stuff,
he's crazy.
Is just banana land, man. I'd be pretty intrigued by that. Dude, maybe I'm on an island with this. I'm not scared if they go receiver there either. I think there's going to be a receiver run at some point, and whether it's like 27 through 30 or 34 through 37, I don't mind that group of Abuka, Burden.
Sure.
Now, those aren't the true burners that I think a lot of people think they need to add. Those guys help you. I also wouldn't hate corner.
I'm intrigued by that kid from Kentucky that ran that fast time, Hairston.
Yeah.
Hairston.
Be intrigued by him. But again, I don't know. Little undersized, right? Struggled with tackling last year.
You know what? Since you brought it up, Nolan, it's a great question. Let's all pick a dude. Let's just pretend they can get anybody. Just to pretend. Who would you want?
Mike Green. Marshall.
Okay. What about you, Noel?
Kel Williams, Georgia.
All right, we're just pretending. The kid, Tyler Warren, the Penn State Ooh. Tight end, such a weapon.
Yes.
And he grew up a Skins fan. He wears 44 for Riggo. It ain't happening, but that's the home run.
That would be fun, man.
I mean.
That would be a blast.
But again, that's not happening. Thanks for the call, dude. Great call.
Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate you. Let's go to Shane is in D.C. Shane, what's up, dude?
JP, how y'all doing today? Happy Friday.
Yeah, you too, man. What's going on?
Hey, there's only one pick, and that's James Pierce Jr. at the University of Tennessee. Go Volunteers, by the way. Hey, look, he's a freak. I've seen him play. He's only a junior coming off this year. He could have stayed in another year, but he's long. He's athletic. The word on him is just his frame. I think he's like 6'5", 240, but he can put that up. But he ran, what, a 4.47? And he's a playmaker. He's a difference maker. And I think he's going to be still the draft. McCoy, the Tennessee, is a great corner. I think he's, but we need help on the edge rushing, and of course the tight end. That'd be a gift. That'd be just
it ain't
the lottery.
Right? Yeah. it ain't happening.
So that'd be lovely, though, right?
I'm just saying that'd be my favorite prospect.
I mean, it would be too. But even though I'm a biased Tennessee fan, I think James Fish Jr. is going to be the star of this draft. I really do. I think he's going to shock the NFL when he comes in. Just watch.
Appreciate you, bud.
Thanks.
I'm intrigued by him. He's talented. I just don't know with the off the field, but maybe they're – and we talked about this.
What is he? I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't know.
Maybe we should ask him.
We've seen talk of this. People have alluded to it. I don't know what it is, but are they building –
I like an edge rusher that wears a low number.
Well, a guy that's just a freak at Tennessee, too. I mean, my thing, JP, is like – are they building a good enough culture that they can start bringing these guys in? They've done it in the past at times, and it just hasn't worked. But are you building a culture? Like, remember when the Capitals brought in Pierre-Luc Dubois, and everyone's like, oh, boy, look at that. And he's played great because right. They have the culture there. Seems like they're building that culture. Maybe you have a culture with the players and the guys you have there that he'd be able to work in it, if that's truly the case. I don't know. But in terms of talent, I don't even think he should be there at 29. So if he falls into your lap, remember Jalen Carter was a character concern, right? He fell into the Eagles' lap, and regardless of what you think about that whole situation, he's a heck of a football player to have on your team. They benefited from a guy falling down the board a little bit with character concerns. Maybe Washington could.
They've been burned by it too, though. I mean, that can cut both ways. Fast Eddie, what's up, Lightning?
Hey, JP, thanks for taking my call, man. Happy Friday to you.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, man, I know I'm probably a month or two early to have this conversation, and not a lot of people are going to like it, to hate on hockey a little bit, and we got to get the grade 8 his number, and we got to, you know, see what we can do in the playoffs. But, look, man, we gave Ted Leonsis, what, $500-600 million to redo that stadium? I want a winner in basketball, okay? Something I can relate to. I mean, JP, after school, did you lace up your skates and go play pickup hockey?
Nah, man.
No, you didn't. No, man. And most of the lower 48 didn't. I mean, I can't even understand what icing is half the time. I've been watching the sport my whole life. And again, I love hockey, man. My first, you know, professional sports thing. My dad took me to the old Cap Center, you know, so I love it. But again, man, let's get a winner in basketball, something I can relate to. I look at it on the ice. I mean, has there ever been a Spanish dude that has played hockey ever in the whole hockey? I don't know, man, but once in a while, you know, my Mexican brother get tall enough to play that damn basketball game. It's a more profitable sport, and I want to see the time and effort and resources going into the basketball problem, sir. You know, so I'm sorry. I know I'm a jerk for, you know, bringing up the whole hockey basketball thing, but when are we going to bring me back my bullets, as Leonard Skinner used to say, and get a winner in basketball? And I'm going to shut up and I'm going to listen to you guys.
I mean, dude, a lot of it's going to depend on how ping pong balls bounce.
Yeah,
I wish I had a better answer. I think you get flagged. I think it changes.
Well, here's the issue with it, JP, is like they've been stuck in this mire for so long, and at the end of it, they finally decided to do it the right way. It just, unfortunately, they've been stuck in mediocrity for so long that doing it again and doing it the correct way is just frustrating because it's piling on. But it seems like with this new regime in place, they at least understand how to do it. So I'm hoping that the things go correctly and they end up with one of these guys in the top three, top four, and it's someone that's a real difference maker, and they've got cap space and they've got, you know, assets if they wanted to move a Jordan Poole. But they've been playing some decent basketball. Maybe it's something you could play reasonable basketball as early as next year if you get a star in here in the NBA draft. So hopefully it's next year that we're talking about a reasonable team taking a jump. But I agree, it'd be nice to have good Wizards basketball in the city.
You ever heard of the Cold War Kids, Toby?
Uh-uh.
They're banned. Quite good. They have a song where they talk about the muck and the mire. Phone lines are open. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.